shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Now on Triple M Footy.
Now they're switched on.
This
who are you having a go at here?
Is the Midweek Rub.
Please just call me the Oracle from now on.
For BWS, go in store or online for whatever floats your boat and get your drinks for this week's games. That's refreshingly BWS. Triple M rocks footy.
Under Friday Night Lights, the Swans pulled out all their tricks while the wayward Harry Mackay has turned into a dead-eye dick. A hot-headed James Sicily kicked out and was offered one, but like Dale Kerrigan, he fought the law and won. The grand finalists are 0-2, Jesse Hogan's already kicked 10 through, and Ryan Myers is throwing shoes. To dissect round one and look towards round two, this is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, now sponsored, if you don't mind, by BWS. With two-time St Kilda All-Australian Lee Joey Montagna.
Hello, Rabsy. Yeah, we've made it now, haven't we? The big time.
We have.
BWS. We all like a little spirit and a little couple of beers, so that'll go down a treat.
Collingwood and Carlton superstar Daisy Thomas.
Thank you very much, Rabs. Anytime there's a castle reference in an opener, it's going to be a good show.
And the big enchilada from afl.com.au, Damien Barrett. Dale Thomas written down here, but Damien Barrett.
Hello, Rosie, Daze and Joey.
That was like the time Eddie McGuire forgot your name.
He just completely forgot my name. Oh, yeah. I think he got the Damien bit out. He couldn't remember the, even though I've known him for 30 plus years.
Jim threw me out the other day as Daisy Pierce again.
Oh, really? Yeah, you've got that a couple of times.
Daisy Pierce.
Yeah, twice from Jim now. Yeah. I don't know if he's trying to power move me or he just forgets, but that's what he's copped.
Hey, apologies for almost being late too. Trying to find a car park around here, South Melbourne, was a nightmare. So I was driving around in circles, Daisy. So I need to find
Daisy's
your tricks.
I had two theories.
Yes.
And they've both been proven to be wrong.
Because you were telling me that, yeah, when we let us say where.
Well, you didn't see the letter that I got put on my car this morning. I came in early to do the Marty Sheargold show. And now I park just around the corner. There's a pet supply store, which I'm a customer of.
Yep.
I do go in there and buy food for the cats. And there's a sign that says customers of, we won't say the store, Pet Barn in Moray Street.
Have I got permission to read this? Because I've got
a screenshot
of it.
But just, this is my understanding of the letter, of the thing in the car park. It says, customers of Pet Barn only. I'm a customer. I've got an account there. I go in and buy cat food.
Yeah.
So I can use that car park at my discretion anytime I want.
And who's to say you're not going to Pet Barn after this?
Correct.
But you're not, though, are you? Well, you weren't.
I will. I might.
So what did the letter say?
On the windscreen right now.
Sticky tape to the windscreen.
An A4, white A4 sheet of paper with sticky tape around all four edges of it. And it reads this way. I'll leave the name of the company here. This parking is for
Pet Barn.
Customers. Customers and staff only. Full stop. This is the bit I like. This is your only warning.
Whoa.
Any further attempts to park here and your vehicle will be locked in overnight or towed as per the signs in the lot.
Yes. So they'll ring the tow truck.
Well, they're not allowed to do that. I remember Hamish and Andy actually went into this because parking illegal is one of their great hobbies.
Right.
So you can't actually call somebody to tow the car if you're not the owner of it unless it is a council bit of land, which it isn't.
Ooh. So you're going to take it on?
Absolutely.
Ooh,
so I'll be last year again next week.
Will you do it next week?
Yeah, I'll go in and buy a 1 cent toy. Probably needs to be more than that, but I'm not sure they do 1 cent toys, but something very small. I'll put it on the window with a receipt and then come in here and have a great time. A
pack of Schmackos.
Yeah. Dogs
so
go wacko.
I thought you had that all worked out last year. You were parking illegally in the Triple M car park.
Yeah, well, my car park was activated because I did the rush hour a couple of times. So I got the beep, beep, and off you go in underneath the mezzanine one. That got revoked pretty quickly. So someone got wind of that and I walked up and, anyway.
I reckon I was using the pass too until one time Rabsy pulled up and he goes, Joey, you know that's my car spot.
Sorry, Rabs. It is a disaster around here, though.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, good to be here.
Problems in life, aren't there?
There are indeed. What'd you make of the footy? Everyone's still in a good mood? Everyone's still up and about?
Yeah.
We're not getting cranky yet, are we?
I'm a bit cranky.
Chris Fagan's getting a little bit cranky.
Chris Fagan is getting cranky.
You know it's annoying when Craig McRae is getting cranky. And
that's interesting. I wonder if Craig McRae is, because you know he's like, we've lauded him, that they've always cracked jokes before games and been so lighthearted. Do you reckon that he's still the case this week?
Did you see
his
press conference?
No, it was a bit more prickly.
He was cranky.
Right.
He said, we don't use that language. I'm not sure about that language, which was fair enough because there was some, it's not colourful language, just the ones the journos try and slide in.
He's already gone longer without the blow-up, Craig McRae, than is normal. I always reckon there's that 18th month of fairy tale
honeymoon period.
Just reception, and you can bluff your way through as being a nice person for that period of time, but then the losses kick in regardless. And yet he's got through two seasons, prelim final first up, grand final win second up. Now he's 0-2. Now we're going to see what he's really like.
Do you still need, as a coach, that real dad voice? You know when your kids are playing and every now and then you just got to have the cut through, like, it'll be right, and they sit up straight.
Yeah.
As a coach, you know, I reckon now if he came in and started banging whiteboards, everyone would sit up straight and go, oh, okay, geez, this isn't going as well as we thought.
Yeah. He seems to me more like the guy, a bit more, I'm disappointing you, Dale. Oh, like, that's the opposite approach, the quiet. Like,
the Jeff Walsh.
Not angry, just
not
disappointed.
Angry. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, boys.
Anyway, big talking point, the Pies. We will get into that.
Yeah, I want to get your views on that because I think you made some really pertinent points off-season, Joey, which I think are now coming home to roost. But you touch on Tassie ever so briefly there. It was exciting, wasn't it?
Yeah, Tassie's exciting. I am excited for that. I think it'd be great for the competition. And I think they'll do it. Well, they'll do it differently, won't they, to the way they did the Giants and Gold Coast. They'll make them more competitive. I think it's a state that are craving an AFL team, so they'll embrace it. It's not going to be as hard work as it has been trying to get the Gold Coast and Giants teams going. I really like it. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. They're a footy state. They've wanted it from all reports. Hopefully the stadium has a lid on it because otherwise it'll be pretty cold and pretty poor product.
Yeah, and that's one of the many challenges still remaining. And there's no removing the fact that there's a state election on this coming weekend. And there's one party that is not as embracing.
I was going to ask, can you explain that to the listener team for me? So who are the AFL fans all barracking for to win?
They're probably, well, they won't say anything publicly about this because they're neutral. But the incumbent party, the Liberal Party, is the one that's given them the green light on the stadium. And it is a legally binding contract to build a stadium. So even if the opposition, the Labor Party, gets in, that will still be held to account. But doesn't mean it happens smoothly. And the opposition
leader. Are
the Liberals'
favourite down there?
From what I can tell, yeah. But what we heard recently, as 2 weeks ago, was the opposition leader making statements that we might just seek to revisit how it looks and that's not going to cut it because of all the things the AFL may questionably do on this one, it's been really clear from the absolute outset. No new stadium means no team at all. So it's not a
no
hybrid
wriggle
version.
Room. Yeah.
There's not. Right. There will be wriggle room on the entry point. Andrew Dillon on record, 2028 is the year that he wants it to happen. The stadium won't be ready then, even if they get it going in the next few months. So they'll have to use the Launceston existing stadium and the Hobart existing stadium for that particular
season.
Surely
it has to have a roof. Sure. As a viewer point of view, if you want to get crowds there, regardless of the weather conditions, if it's got a roof, you'll have more a better product. You'll have more people going through the gates because it's not as cold. You're not getting it rained on. No, you disagree?
Well, I think it's ideal, but it's also very, very costly. Could they make it where you have the grandstand is, you know, covers all the people, the patrons? I mean,
it's a free hit. You're starting from scratch. You're not trying to add a roof to an MCG. You can have it built into your facility.
Part of the complications are the money's attached to whatever stadium that it is.
It's expensive.
And to Joey's point, the roof won't double it, but it will multiply it several fold. And that's where it's an issue from a welfare perspective.
Did you play down there?
I got frostbite one day.
Genuine.
It was literally that cold that we put our hands under hot water. And then we all got pins and needles. I got pins and needles in my hands and couldn't feel them for about 10 minutes.
We had the wind just going one side of the ground and the ball was stuck there. Genuinely, the ball was played within a 40-metre gap.
Brent Harvey was a great kick, as we know. He once had the kick that actually went back over his head from that wind at Launceston. Mm. Yeah.
Fair dinkum, all for Ghazi still to come, but your news up next. We'll touch more on Collingwood plus James Sisley. This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, all thanks to BWS. Go in-store or online for whatever floats your boat. Get your drinks for this week's game. That's refreshingly BWS.
This is the Midweek Rub.
I don't think I've ever cheered so much for a football team that I don't really give a stuff about.
Triple M rocks footy.
This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. Joey, Daisy and Damo, your weekend predictions still to come. Plus Fair Dinkum or Fugazi. But Damo, it's time for some news. We'll start back at Collingwood. They are 0-2 to start the season.
0-2, danger game Thursday night of this week going into round two against St Kilda. I'll quickly snapshot it, then I'll get the football experts' opinions on what is going wrong. Opening round and round one, they've played two really good football teams who are expected to finish high, GWS and Sydney. You've got the Nathan Murphy absence in the back line, out indefinitely with concussion reasons. You've got Dan McStay not being part of the forward line. You've got a situation off field. Graham Wright, the revered, renowned football director, effectively, or certainly the head of football department, taking off on long service leave as of 2 weeks ago, and the transitioning underneath him, Brendan Bolton, Justin Lepich, and some teething issues with how that looks. I'll leave it to you guys. They're the facts. What are you observing by way of their slow start to the year?
If it's two and zip, are any of those things an issue?
No. No. And that's a fair point. Yeah. But because wins make everything go away.
They do.
But the problem is they've been losses.
It's probably the way that they're losing, which concerns me. Obviously, the GWS Giants were flying and will continue to fly. They were scorched from the and torn from that last game, the prelim final, and the Swans were flying. We saw that in the preseason when they beat the GWS Giants. Look, I think it's the defensive end who are just not defending. That's what just is a hard conversation of you big blokes.
And is that linked back to Nathan Murphy's absence?
Well, I think for a long while it's probably underrated how much of an impact he has as a genuine lockdown defender. He can.
So he played the traditional defensive role.
Correct, on one of the better forwards, which then allowed Darcy Moore to come across, peruse that half-back line or full-back line and attack off the back of it and be aggressive with his positioning. At the moment, they've got six blokes down there who are not defending, playing proactive positioning, and sides that are coming through with no heat through the midfield are just able to kick their way through it.
Joey, you made a really good point alongside David King on Fox Footy when you previewed the season a couple of weeks ago. Alluding to Collingwood's form leading into last year's final series and even within it, the win against Melbourne, the win against GWS just to get to the grand final. I'm paraphrasing, you explain what you said, but it was almost as if they won against the form that they were displaying. Just if you can.
Well, yeah, it's a tricky one because they did win. But as we touched on, they won three finals by a total of 12 points or 30. Like, it was amazing. Lost matches leading in.
And won some matches with the metrics in the match not necessarily reflecting.
Yeah. Well, I think I had that they only won sort of five of the 12 quarters throughout the finals. To basically explain, for big portions of those finals, they weren't dominating the game, but they just got it done when they needed to. Melbourne, it was the first quarter and they held on. Giants, they got it done late. But it was more the fact that coming into this year, there's a reason why it's hard for teams to win back-to-back. And now I'll revert to the expert, but I would think it'd be human nature that if you've won the premiership, particularly if you're an older player that's been playing for a long time, that you would slightly breathe out, not consciously, you're not doing it deliberately, but just a little bit. So I think that there's a little element, it looks to me, of that of Collingwood. They're not quite as fanatical with their chase and their pressure and all those things that they did last year amazingly well. But that's I thought it would be natural because if I won in 2010, I'm telling you, 2011, I probably wouldn't have come back the same player. I'd have been celebrating. Now, I know everyone that wins it says, no, you want to win it again and all that. But why is back-to-back so hard? If you're coming in as the team that's the favourite the following year, most teams that win the premiership are favourites the following year, then why don't they ever generally win back-to-back?
And before you answer, you nearly did it as a club. You only lost to one team the year after you won the premiership in 2010. That one team happened to happen three times, including the grand final, Geelong.
Yeah, well, and arguably we would have won that game if Chris Tarrant was playing on Podsy Adley. He went out. We didn't have a matchup for Tom Hawkins. He kicked five on Ben Reid and turned into Wayne Carey. Don't know if it was five, but that was the reason that game was gone. I think it's harder to go back-to-back, especially in the current day because sides are so even. The Pies, people went to work over the offseason going, right, what do we have to do to beat them? Sydney were very good at it. We can't let them switch it. We can't let them through the corridor.
Yep.
But then if we get the ball back, you've got to be aggressive and take them on as they would to you. So there's the first point. Look, Conor McGregor's a little bit, and this is slightly off tack. When he was the dogged bloke coming up through the ranks of the MMA world and the UFC, he would do anything to get a win. And then all of a sudden he became the superstar and he had a few losses because I just think, as you said, there's that tiniest little bit and that sort of multiplied by 10 or so blokes throughout that side that means you don't just have that
killer,
hunger, the killer instinct to make sure. And in this day and age, that's the difference.
So you still know the players at this club at the moment. You know the club as well as it knows itself. What are you observing from that hangover perspective?
I think two losses to start the season is going to be good. Because if you won through five and you sort of then get to the middle part and then it starts coming unraveled, now you can have the conversations. Look, does it mean as much to us? And I think, they were, from all reports, they come back in unbelievable nick in terms of time trial, skin folds, all of the stuff, the metrics that you can take into a preseason. The first round against GWS, I understand that they probably weren't mentally stimulated enough. GWS, it was their grand final effectively on their home patch. 20,000 at GWS, a giant stadium, probably doesn't move the needle for me either if I'm coming off a final series with an average crowd of 85,000-90,000 people. So I give them a do-over for that. Last week, they'll pour. They win tonight. I think all's forgiven. They have the Lions the week after that and then a gettable one against
the
Hawks.
So you're not overly concerned right now?
Well, that'll be 2-3 going into their bye.
Yep.
2-3, nearly break even, reset, go again for the next chunk.
Yep.
That's where the new bye for the teams that have started the season with the extra game is going to come in handy.
Joey, you had an idea to discuss the Tasmanian situation. 2028 entry point. Whether it happens or not, that's what Andrew Dillon is saying is the case. They need to formulate a team. They'll be given draft concessions. They'll be given access to contracted or, sorry, out of contracted established players from other clubs. How that looks will all play out. But what do they need, and this is your idea, by way of coach and captain in year one?
Well, the captain coach is easier for Daisy and I because we probably see that a bit more. You're probably a bit better with a bit more of the setting up the club. Now, Brendan Gale, it feels like it's inevitable, which is a great get.
He's had time now to refute it if it wasn't at least being discussed, and he hasn't. So
that's a great get.
And that's been in the throes now for some time.
So then we thought, well, let's just hypothetically throw it. If you were Brendan Gale and you were in charge of the team and you could pick Daisy, your ideal coach and player to take as your captain, your number one player to build around, where would you go right now in 4 years' time?
How old's Nick Dacos now? 20?
He's only 20.
So that's 24.
You're going to rip Nick Dacos out of Collingwood?
Well, if you can take anyone, he's the best player in the comp. He's unbelievably professional in the way he goes about it. Imagine him teaching other midfielders to be more like him. That'd be my first pick. And I'm going for a coach, another young one, Scott Selwood.
Right. Mm. Yeah.
Underneath the McRae sort of mold of coaching. Why not?
I reckon in 4 years' time, the sort of next wave will be those that are under Craig McRae.
Yeah, we saw it with Alistair Clarkson, of course, all the prodigies that he sent out. I think McRae will be the same.
I think they still would go with a someone who's had a lot of experience as a coach. I would take Chris Scott. I think Chris Scott's the best coach in the league.
So you're of the view that even we've got whatever gen we've got coming through the ranks now, you're of the view that an older person is the best person for this club?
I think so, because I think the way that you would build this Tassie, the club, would be a lot like the way they've done it at Geelong. It's almost got to be that sort of community feel, the way that they, for some reason, whatever Geelong do, Daisy, it works, doesn't it? Living down there and the way they come in and out of the club. I think he would have all that expertise about building a club that would suit the Hobart or Tassie lifestyle. And it might mean a bit more free time for players to come to the mainland. I don't know what it would look like, but maybe Chris Scott. And then I'd just start with Dacos is the obvious and a few of those blokes, Zach Butters and a couple of them. But maybe I'd go Riley Sanders, who is a Tasmanian from North Launceston. In 4 years' time, he'll be 23 years of age. He looks like a very mature type. I think having a local as the young sort of captain, I reckon in 4 years' time, he'll be a top sort of 50 player in the competition, and maybe he's ready to go.
Yep. I see in 2024, you can kick someone and play the next week and also hit someone in the head and play the next week. I refer to James Sicily having his tribunal appearance go his way last night, downgraded from a week's suspension to a fine, as had happened when it played out through the system where George Hewitt, who made contact clearly with Lachie Neale's face in the opening round, able to play in the round one following week. So again, maybe they're minor incidents, but a kick and a punch or a slap, a contact to the face, it's allowed.
You know where I sit on this day, mate.
You always take the players' side.
Well, and rightfully so. And if you go and miss a grand final on the back of one of those, you'd be filthy. It doesn't deserve a suspension, any of those.
It's not black or white, Damo. You've still got a challenge. There's got to be a kick for it to be a kick. Like I'm
old school with kick.
I could kick you in the shin now. That doesn't mean I'm going to. I've
worked
up
over
something.
It, but I'm still old school.
Yeah. No, I agree with Daisy. You've got to be able to take each instance on its merits. And I think there is a difference between a kick and a kick. And there was very little in that. So I'm glad that he got away with a fine.
Plays codes well and truly alive on the midweek grab. Luke Beveridge, do we read anything into what happened in round one? Obviously, Jack McRae not part of the team. Sam Darcy left out of it. I know there's build-up and rehab components to all of these selections. Caleb Daniel, though, was the interesting one. All-Australian, best and fairest winner. Started as the sub. Riley Sanders ultimately came off for him to come on. Are we reading anything by way of a problem in what's happening and unfolding here first up after the off-season review?
The concern for me was they break even with inside 50s with the Ds and end up losing the game comfortably. Mm. That's an issue. That's a real issue.
Their issue for me, and coming into the season and seeing it round one, is still what is their DNA? What do they stand for? What do they look like as a football club at their very best? It's sort of... Can't really see it in recent years, and I think there is something in the Bevo stuff. When it works, it's great. He's a genius coach. He has great ideas and innovations, and he's won a premiership and got to another grand final because of it. But when it doesn't work, then it does, I think, create some confusion. Does it create some disconnect? It certainly does with the fans. I'm not sure about the playing group, but like Caleb Daniels got to be starting in their best team. Jack McRae, I know they said he was slightly underdone, but he was dominant in the VFL. And Sam Darcy has been dominant all preseason. He's been dominant in two VFL games. He's got to be in the team.
Yep.
So they've got to make that work. Otherwise,
and does that mean Norton then makes way whatever he, in the space of the forward line?
It makes sense to me to go to centre half back, but it's Bevo's got to make it work.
Liam Jones was unbelievable on the weekend, but he didn't.
It's him or no one else,
and there was nobody else. So to the point of whether it's Norton or whoever, which has been thrown up, you may as well move the magnets and give us something different. There's a lot of, you see the Bulldog side on paper, and apart from Daniel being started a sub, you could nearly name them in position every week and what they're going to do and what they're going to bring.
Well, they face the Gold Coast Suns in Ballarat on Sunday. We'll get all your tips for round two soon, but up next, it's Fair Dinkum or Fugazi and Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, Joey, Daisy and Damo.
This is the Midweek Rub.
Sometimes you go looking for stuff and sometimes it just comes across your desk.
Triple M rocks footy.
Joey, Daisy and Damo, this is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. All thanks to BWS. Go in-store or online for whatever floats your boots and get your drinks for this week's games. That's refreshingly BWS, Daisy.
Oh, it certainly is. Lager beer, craft beer, zero elk beer, bubbles, pale ale, brown ale, seltzers. Whatever floats your boots, it's available at BWS Day, mate.
It is, Days. Go in-store or online and get your drinks for this week's games. And, Joey, what's better than a stat to go along with the game?
Well, I've been digging deep. And how's this from a stat from the weekend? Geelong's Grian Myers, Daisy, became the first AFL player in 2 years to be pinged for throwing an opposition shoe.
Yeah. Who throws a shoe?
That's refreshingly BWS stat of the week.
Now on the Midweek Rub, it's...
I'll kick it off. Our BWS sponsorship has come about 2 months too late for Days because they could have sponsored your wedding.
That's all right. The Carlton draft might have helped me out a little bit.
What are you doing with all those leftover slabs, by the way?
Working my way through them.
Joey, Sydney are the best field-kicking team in the comp.
That is fair dinkum. Yeah, I think they've got a lot of beautiful kicks in that side. I would say true.
Daisy, the season starting earlier than ever before means the two grand finalists are underdone.
Fugazi, they still had enough time to prepare for a footballing season. I'll tell you what it is meaning, though, is there's a lot of sweat and the ball handling is pretty poor at the moment. So if this is to continue and the weather trends are pushed later and we start earlier, I think the AFL need to look into some sort of technology in and around ball.
Damo, I'm talking about Dangerfield's goal and the talk that he should have passed it off. We need to stop thinking in hypotheticals in the AFL.
That is fair dinkum. What's wrong with going back, seizing the moment and kicking the goal, executing the skill that not many can do under those circumstances? I get the narrative. I get the debate around it. But if you're going to do it and pull it off, well done. There's no conversation to be had beyond that point.
Joey, a key forward will kick 90-plus goals this season.
Including finals?
Yeah.
That's going to be close. That's going to be close. The line 90, unders, overs. What would I take? I'll say under just. So it's Fugazi? It's Fugazi.
Right.
But there'll be, I've said there'll be at least five key forwards kick 60-plus this year. We'll get some big numbers. 90's just a bit too big. I know Damo's rooting for the 100 goal kicker to come back.
Hasn't been done since 2008.
When was it? 2008.
Yeah, that's only personal agenda, though, so you can have another TV show.
Soon, but not yet.
Daisy, Matt Rowell will be leading the Brownlow after two games.
Fugazi. I feel Noah Anderson might have taken three off him already at some point. Okay. So he'll be certainly up there, and it's brilliant to see. That midfield is very, very nice there at the Gold Coast Suns, I should say.
And
Heaney's been very good.
Damo, Taylor Adams and Luke Parker won't walk straight back into Sydney's midfield.
That is fair dinkum. Taylor Adams hasn't yet been in Sydney's midfield, and it's going to be a battle for him to do so. And Luke Parker, when he does come back, the experiment with Isaac Heaney is working too well for him to be an absolute lock for the amount of time he's spent in the middle from the past. So fair dinkum.
Joey, Carlton having the bye after two games is a momentum killer.
I'm going to say Fugazi on this one because I think it's come at the good time for the Blues with their injury issues. I think they actually have got the nice little start. They can regroup, get some cattle back. I think it's been underrated how well they've won two games without Walsh and Wietering. That's like taking Stephen May and Petrarca out of Melbourne or Darcy Moore and Dacos. Like it's been a great start. They'll get the bye and then they'll come back and hit the ground running.
Daisy, Travis Boak is in the top five discussion for greatest Port Adelaide players.
Fair dinkum. Without sort of knowing too many names off the top of my head.
Tritters is up there, isn't he? Is he a lock among the top five?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
For what he's done for the football club over a long period of time, I think, not just on the field, but his leadership off the field, He's a ripping bloke, and yes, I think so.
Plays game 350 this weekend.
That's a
as
lot
well.
Of footy. It's a lot that of is footy. A, that's a lot of Saturdays dedicated to playing a game.
Damo, the NRL post-game interviews on Triple M should be done in a 10-second delay. I'll just play you a little bit of audio.
Latrell Mitchell had a nice moment to finish the game with you, Dobbo.
Yeah, he did score a try, but he'd be disappointed. They got back to 12-all. Mate, it looked like here comes South, but it just got away from you.
It's all right, mate. Look, honestly, in the first beer, just a hard game. We showed what we were about, and honestly, they're big boys. They're competitors. You know, wonder why they come, you know, runner-up last year, so... They're building on that. I don't care if I'm swearing, boys, honestly.
Only 10 seconds, Ramsey.
Yeah.
Fair dinkum. Yeah. I love Latrell Mitchell. I love actually rugby league, but you can't be carrying on like that post-match.
Was that last quote, I don't care if I'm swearing, boys?
Yeah, and then I think he did another about five or six.
Okay. What about, though, the NRL now saying Triple M can't film the socials, the social media content?
Mm.
Is that a bit controversial? Oh, come on. Won't go there?
Just moving straight on from that one, Joey. The AFL...
Jasper told me to go with it.
Oh, come on, Jack. Yeah, he gives us a thumbs up too from the back. Joey, the AFL website needs a clip for ranking every one of Nick Dacos' first 49 games.
No, that's Fugazi. That's good. That's good fodder.
That's fantastic. That would get,
that's good
by
fodder.
Kel Toomey.
I didn't read it because it doesn't really matter, but Collingwood fans would love that, and I thought it's a clever idea.
Yeah.
Like... I was actually trying to think. It would have been fun to do. I didn't have it. What was number one? What was number one? You're a Collingwood Nuffie.
What's the problem with that?
What was number one?
I didn't even click it. I'm not going to realize.
Oh, well,
you're analyzing it now. How long we got? Number 49, round 21.
What was his worst? What was his best?
Round 21, 2023 against the Hawks. The toughest game of Dacos' career. Physically targeted, broke his leg off.
Yeah, that's a bit stiff for you, weren't you?
And I'll scroll to the bottom. His best game. 49's a lot. Round 18, 2022 against the Crows. An extraordinary game late in his debut season stands as the most complete Dacos effort. 19 years and 194 days, 40 or more disposals. Yeah.
Good one. No, yeah.
Obviously
good.
Couldn't be bothered doing Travis Pokes 349.
No, that's
I just got bored reading the worst and the best. Come on, Cal.
Finally, I'll go
There's
with
a video
you.
To go with it.
Yeah, okay.
That's awesome.
Isaac Smith has started genuine beef with Patrick Dangerfield.
Oh, look, it's really easy to you know, pot shot from the stands. And yes. For those that... you know, he was a part of success. He wasn't really the main driving factor beyond it. So,
right.
You know what those sort of flies around the edges do? They try and stick mud on, you know, the proper players in the competition. And that's sort of what Isaac's done. So I try not to buy too much into the rubbish that he sort of comes up with on the rub. But, you know, I'll keep the receipts, guys.
Well, it is fair dinkum. Well done to Isaac too. And I love the fact how self-indulgent Paddy was there about just distancing himself from Isaac. And he wasn't the fly sticking the mud. He was the superstar the mud was sticking to.
Well, you can hear Isaac as part of the Thursday rub tomorrow night ahead of Spuds Matt St Kilda versus Collingwood. Get all your tips for round two coming up next on Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub.
This is the Midweek Rub.
You are a genius, Daisy.
No, I couldn't agree more with you there, Joey.
Triple M rocks footy.
Round two action kicks off tomorrow night. Spuds match between St Kilda and Collingwood, the all-new Thursday Rub pre-game show as well from 6 p.m. on the Listener app and on Triple M Footy. How do we see that game playing out, Joey?
It's a must listen. Make sure you tune in. And it's a huge game for St Kilda. This is their home game. It's their biggest of the year. They're looking to break the record for the most fans for a home game ever in the history for St Kilda. If they can get it on the weekend. So get down there. Oh, it's going to be a great game. Like, St Kilda should be going in confidence. It sounds like the way that Ross spoke in the presser, that he's going to instill that in his boys, that this isn't the same Collingwood team. But then there's the back of the head. We spoke about Collingwood earlier. You know, they're still a pretty scary proposition. So, look, I'm going to tip St Kilda just with my heart, but it's going to be a great contest.
I've been contemplating this game all week, and I'm going to err on the side of caution, which I don't often do with tipping. I'm going to just back safe. Collingwood in to get their season on track.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Pies as well, but I need to see something a lot more. If Max King kicks three or more, the Pies will lose.
Temper Trap playing from 7 p.m. as well, so if you can get along, make sure you get along. Adelaide versus Geelong, Damo. This is a massive game on Friday night.
Similarly, in a conundrum on this one too, I'm going to stick with the Cats. I just constantly get disappointed by the Crows. I mean, again, last week was so typical, in my eyes, of what happened in 2023 for the Crows. They could have, arguably should have won, and didn't against Gold Coast. And Geelong, really impressed with what they did against St Kilda last week. I like Geelong this year in the big picture, so Cats.
One goal, two to half-time. The Crows, they get back on their home patch. 13 games there last year, 9 wins, 4 losses, 2 of them by 1 point to both the Pies and the Swans. Good form at home. I think they get it done comfortably.
Nice research.
I'm coming into the year was more bullish on Geelong than Adelaide. I liked what I saw from the Cats. Adelaide have history of struggling to beat Geelong, so I think the Cats will stifle their offense. They'll lock them down and they'll get the job done.
North Melbourne versus Fremantle Days.
Oh, is it weird that I give North a chance, even though how good Fremantle were last week?
North beat them last year in this game, yeah. Round 2, and that was in Perth last year.
I give North a chance. I'm going to go with Fremantle, even though they've got a lot of injuries that came out of that brilliant win. Geez, that was really good, wasn't it, against Brisbane?
Brilliant. It was brilliant.
Yeah. So I'm just going to back that in. But North, I give a real chance to.
North will beat some teams with the way they play. I don't think Fremantle will be one of them. I think they're too professional, too well coached. It was a dominant win by Fremantle against Brisbane.
And you work there.
I think the Dockers will get the job done.
Have we spoken enough about that win? I think it's just, you know, Brisbane zipping too. They had everything to gain.
A lot of pressure on Fremantle, wasn't there, coming into the season?
Yeah. That was a real... Caleb's the wrong 40 plus, the way they did it.
The carnage, as you mentioned, in a 15-minute period with all those players going down. I'm the same as you, Days. I'm going to go for the Dockers just on exposed form.
Joey Hawthorn versus Melbourne. The Hawks have their captain now playing for them.
Yeah, they do. D's win this.
Yep.
Concur.
Sydney versus Essendon. We think the Swans has continued to roll on 3-0.
100%.
Yes.
They're my certainty.
I'll make it my certainty as well.
Well, there you go. You're all in. Western Bulldogs versus Gold Coast down at Ballarat.
Tough one, this one.
I'm tipping the Dogs. They would want to win this. Otherwise, there will be some serious soul searching at the kennel down at Ballarat if they get beaten. So it's a must win for the Western Bulldogs.
I'm going to go along the same lines. Dogs, but with no confidence.
I'm lighting the fire. The heat's coming. Gold Coast Suns, I think they can get it done. 2-0 to start the season. They're going well. Their midfield's good. They'll take it up to Bontempelli, Liver and Treloar. Their forward line's humming. I don't see too many threats.
The young Bulls v the old Bulls in the midfield.
Just quickly, how big is it if they start 3-0, the Suns?
Oh, it's a massive, massive start. I think, though, they've done this before, so it's a little bit of a still hold and watch, but it'd give them great confidence.
Richmond versus Port Adelaide, your mate, 350th Travis Boak.
Yes, Port in that one for me. Richmond a lot better last week. Again, some injuries, though, which hurts them. Good to see Tommy Lynch back, but Port for me.
Same.
Gutsy by Richmond. I think they'll be more competitive than we think, but nah, Port too classy.
And West Coast versus Giants. We all expect, obviously, the Giants to get the job done there. So what is your outlier? You've picked your certainty.
If there's an upset this round, I think it'll be North Melbourne.
My upset is the Cats against the Crows.
Mine will be St Kilda to upset the Pies tomorrow night.
Well, you can catch that game from 6 p.m. with the all-new Thursday Rub. Jack Everin, Kate McCarthy, Isaac Smith, and Jay Clark. Then Das is jumping in for the game. And of course, you can hear every game live on Triple M and on the Listener app all throughout round 2. This has been Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. Joey, Daisy and Damo, all thanks to BWS.
This has been Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub with Joey Montagna, Daisy Thomas and Damian Barrett. Follow Triple M Footy on socials to get the latest news and highlights. And to live stream games or listen anytime, download the Listener app, LISTNR.
For BWS, go in-store or online for whatever floats your boat and get your drinks for this week's games. That's refreshingly BWS.